At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Previously, .tv Podcast Network.
Do us all a favor. Go away.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 11, Offensive Interference. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Shall we do this? I'm so yes, bored already.
We shall.
All right, we only have three storylines. Well, it's not... I mean, I'll get it up for the podcast. I'm just saying, this is not a great episode. Oh, Dave.
Well.
God.
Hey, you set me up.
I guess I did. All right, let's start with our C story, Sarah, if you are ready.
I am ready. Nauseated, but ready.
Brandon misses Dylan.
Aww.
Barf.
This plotline starts at Dylan's house, where Brandon has been deputized to deal with Dylan's affairs, including a message from the thirsty real estate agent in Maui. Susan enters and gently reminds Brandon that he's supposed to get her to a staff meeting, and she asks what she can do to help. He says she can cheer him up. And this is what she thinks is going to do it. Clip number two.
Well, I know something you can do.
What's that?
Well, you haven't written a column yet this week. I don't know, maybe that might help you get back in the swing of things.
Is that a hint, Ms. Editor?
Of course not.
Yes, it's a hint. Do your work. God.
Seriously. Since you get paid somehow.
I know, honestly. Like, if you need a sub, ask for a sub. This is how these things work. Anyway, your friend didn't die. Do your work, idiot. Brandon is loitering around Dylan some more, like, what requires daily attention? Fucking let his plants die. When Kelly shows up, she was driving by and saw his car, she says, but she has salads for each of them, and Brandon busts her on that claim. And they discuss that in clip number three.
Okay. I didn't think you should have to do this alone.
Shouldn't you be off guarding Cornelius J. Condor or something?
Brandon, you're not the only one who misses him.
Sorry. It's just I've been coming here all week and checking his messages and getting his mail, and I don't think he's ever coming back. So why do I bother?
Because you're his friend and you love him. That's not ever going to change for you or for me.
Well, I bet he stops coming up very often pretty soon.
Yeah, me too.
Brandon finally gets over himself and lets her help him do whatever ill-defined task he's supposedly doing. No one cares. Lord, later, Brandon and Kelly end up playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots, which is when Susan comes in with a covered plate. Kelly is smug as hell, knowing how insecure this tableau is making Susan, because she's such a bitch. Brandon and Kelly both try to make room for Susan, but Kelly finally leaves and Susan gets passive-aggressive in clip four.
Looks like Kelly got you out of your funk.
Oh, Susan. Don't yeah. do that.
Also, just don't go out with him. He sucks. You can do better.
Yeah. If you're already this worried about his divided affections, like 3 weeks into your relationship, maybe it's not a good relationship for either of you. But anyway, Susan has brought over brownies that she baked herself. Brandon says he doesn't deserve them because he hasn't written his column yet. If that's true, I agree. Blah, blah. She really wants to fuck in a widower's house. And that's what occurs. And then later at the condo.
Despite
office,
the fact that yes. all the juices of West Beverly are already on that futon. Look at us.
Sarah.
Sorry. Not sorry.
I think they do it on the table anyway. Later at the Condor office, Brandon is typing, which is always hilarious, and I made a GIF, which you can see in the previously.tv visual aids. Somehow, Brandon is inspired by the video or the football game that he's listening to on the radio to start his column, and that is when Susan comes over, clip 5.
Got your column?
Yeah, you gave it to me a couple days ago.
Really? What's your lead?
Friendship sucks.
You're writing about Dylan, aren't you?
Yeah.
Save a copy for him. You never know.
And after all this discussion of his column, somehow this is the time that we're spared Brandon's bullshit. We don't hear what he writes at all.
Thank God.
I know, I'm not complaining, but it's also weird to take up so much screen time with it for no payoff. But anyway, later there's some blah blah about Colin and Susan both going home to New York for Thanksgiving and leaving Kelly and Brandon partnerless, but somehow without a shot of Susan looking stricken about it. So I'm not actually sure how to feel. We need to move on to our B story, but
do
first.
Just want to say, you people are assholes. Flocks and OC any hilly filiification. Litosaurus Rex, that's two words, but we'll let it slide because you put a hyphen in there. And Isthmus.
You're doing three back to back to back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's how we do it.
All right.
We clump them all together.
Okay.
Thanks to Lizzie, Chris, and Carrie for supporting us through the Dave Word ad program. Once again, Floxen OC any hilly fillification. I don't even know if that's close, but I broke it down as much as I could.
Amazing. Let us proceed, Sarah, to our B plot, Steve and Val caper stuff.
You okay?
The B's for Val's boobs, thank God. The redeeming quality in any of this.
Oh, guys, sorry, can I interrupt for a second?
Uh-huh.
Flocks and orsony, a hillibilification.
That was pretty close.
Flocks and orsony, a hillibilification.
Yeah.
In the middle, I messed up. All mm-hmm. right.
What does it mean?
What does it mean? I will find out and get back to you
Neat.
On that one.
Okay. It's homecoming, which looks boring as shit. Steve and Munce address a small crowd of losers about Steve's sacred charge to protect the school mascot, Cornelius J. Condor, as we heard referenced earlier. From SCU operatives who are going to try and steal it, Kelly and Colin do some kind of idiotic clapping thing, which you see the visual aids because I made a GIF. It's like she makes a hand sandwich and then claps it. I don't know why she thinks she's cute. She's not. Kelly reminds everyone about the caper that she pulled off at last year's homecoming. Colin pretends to think the spy versus spy stuff is fun because his character is all over the fucking place. Also, in case you forgot, it is the 90s. Clip 6.
How'd I do, our man?
Like they say, sounds like school spirit.
I have an update, and I'm very glad you asked, Sarah, because not only was that word terrible for me to pronounce, mm-hmm. super long, but also the meaning is on point.
Oh.
Let's see. Floxinocene-hilly-fillification is
yes?
the action or habit of estimating something as worthless.
Oh.
Well done, Lizzie.
Indeed. Back to the show. Steve is annoyed that Val isn't there to help organize whatever stuff is going to happen this year. David says she swore she would be there, but then we see her letting herself into the Peach Pit After Dark, where she is startled by Jonesy, who immediately helps himself to a bottled beer from the bar. Sarah, as a booze hound, if you were at a bar, would you not get whatever was on draft?
A tap? I guess.
I don't know. I just thought that was weird.
Well, I mean, it's the daytime, and I would ask. I mean, I know it's the Peach Pit, but mm-hmm. not everything's free.
Right. I guess. They briefly chit-chat about Dylan. Jonesy says he got the blow-by-blow by a friend at the FBI, as if. And Val makes sure we know that she doesn't know where he is. And anyway, Jonesy is there to collect on the favor that she owes him after Mexico. He needs her for one night. She doesn't have to leave town, and he'll throw in a tasteful wardrobe. She makes a show of hesitating, but agrees. And then we see Val in her room trying on the Fredericks of Hollywood patent pleather. Like, I can't tell if it's a romper or a vest and hot pants, but it's
a
lot.
I think it's two-piece.
And not a lot at the same time. It's quite something. Back to Steve. He directs a bunch of his frat bros as they bring a wooden property of California University crate into the house, and this exchange occurs in clip 7.
Put it in the foyer.
You're gonna put it in there? Why don't you just put a big sign on it that says CU mascot? And by the way, it's foyer.
Me and you every time this word comes up. That's how you can tell that Kathleen Robertson, aka Claire, is a secret Canadian, because she says foyer.
Here's how you can tell she's not one of us. She doesn't make that bratty correction first.
Yeah,
and
true.
Then talk about how it's very obvious. Also, who cares? Moving on.
Indeed. Val comes down to mild razzing about flaking on their scam plans. And when the group has moved out, David asks if she's okay. She says something came up. Blah, blah. They have this fight 5 times. He keeps trying to get her to tell him what's going on, and she won't. And then he gets pissy and she gets defensive. Moving on. Val's story is apparently that she's playing a very inexpensive prostitute in a low-class area to trap some hooker enthusiast, and Jonesy is her pimp. There are pics.
Hooker enthusiast.
Well, she announces that she's not going to parade around and shake her moneymaker, and a lot of time is spent on Jonesy directing her performance, none of it interesting, and she's looking out for a white limo and will have to get in the car with the guy. The driver is working with Jonesy, he says, and she's supposed to go to the Bellamy Hotel. Why? Clip 8.
Because Fun Boy likes to impress the trash.
The Sarah D. Bunting story. I don't know.
Which is better, Dave, Fun Boy or Hooker Enthusiast?
Hooker Enthusiast. I imagine it's like that big discussion from, I think it's American Psycho, all about business cards and, you know, copper plate fonts and stuff. And
yes,
the one guy would then pull out his card, and on one side in copper plate, it says Hooker Enthusiast. Mm-hmm. And then the other side in Comic Sans, it says Fun Boy.
Well, your birthday's coming up.
By the way, the Bellamy is, if I recall correctly, the place where Val was living for a while, but that does not come up. The scam is that this guy's wife hired Jonesy to entrap the husband for the sake of her divorce settlements, and the photos Jonesy will be taking are for her. Val thinks it's cheesy, but Joni says the Mark is a sleaze and a wife beater and deserves what's coming to him. Oh, this got dark in a big hurry. And then Kelly shows up at Colin's to find out that Colin has been working deep undercover on Steve's prank. Colin oversaw the construction of a counterfeit Cornelius. The real one is in his fridge. None of this is funny, but Kelly is delighted. Then back to Val. She and Jonesy bicker before Jonesy says they should pull the plug. And Val, relieved, is ready to take off and never see Jonesy again, but he just means quit until the next night. And other than to remind us that Brandon is a crabby old man, I don't really get the point of this Bray announcement in clip 9.
Sanders, I know I agreed to this little homecoming stunt, but could you please keep Muntz and Company from dropping chips and beer nuts all over 953 Hillcrest Drive, huh?
Huh?
Sanders! Also, I don't know why we, at this late date, get the specific address. Like, it's such a weird detail to drop in there, but also when he says dropping, I was really went to dropping deuces because they were talking about months, but whatever. David and Steve celebrate getting a live feed up on a closed circuit camera over the fake Cornelius in the foyer or foyer. They're so loud and rude that they wake up Val, and David tries to be nice slash mooch around to get her to tell him what she was doing out so late, but she doesn't want to talk about it, though this time she's more apologetic than defensive. David says that he's glad it's over, whatever it was, and he wants to take her out tonight, so she has to say the business isn't finished. And David finally asks if there's a guy involved. Val winces that she can't tell him right now. There is a guy involved, not the way he thinks, and it turns into a fight again. And when she pulls back the quilt, he sees her pleather get up on the bed, and things get ratcheted up some more in clip 10.
It's a nice outfit. Who'd you wear this for?
David, look. I have a headache, okay? It's not like we're married or something. Just give me a little space here.
I'll give you tons of space.
You're acting so childish. I really hate that.
How else can I act? It's not like I'm one of the guys who gets to be adult with you.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know how you keep telling me to be patient with this relationship?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think my patience just ran out.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, but in David's defense, there's absolutely no reason that she shouldn't tell him at least the outlines of what is going on.
Honestly.
Except to create drama that nobody cares about because...
Exactly.
What else is going on? The yeah. fucking condor?
I know. Stop. It looks like it's such a dumb looking condor too. It's so cartoony. Anyway, why do I care? Hooker night two. Val just wants to get coffee, but Jonesy orders her not to leave the area. More fighting is blessedly cut short when the white limo pulls up and Jonesy shoos away another couple of girls to make room for Val at the window. And of course, the guy is interested in Val for $200 an hour. Bargain price, BT dubs. Which is when two cops come out of the front seat to arrest Jonesy and Val for solicitation. And in the middle of the night, David gets a call. It's Val needing him to bail her out. Now that he has leverage, he makes her tell him what for, which at last she does. And after a commercial, David is collecting her and giving her his giant coat. She guesses she really disappointed him and says she wants to explain, but he says not now. And they sit. He comments that she could have called anyone, but he's the only one she could let see him. Oh my God, so many pronouns. She didn't want anyone else to see her like this. She's really embarrassed.
You were spoiled.
He tells her not to be. And then Jonesy comes out spluttering drunk and telling her to look on the bright side. All the charges have been dropped. Her record is clean. Which then, like, David just finished bailing her out. Does he get his money back? How does this work? Okay.
What?
I don't know. Anyway, David isn't worried about that and tries to go up against the obvious alpha male, Jonesy, while Val tries to smooth everything over. Jonesy gives David an abridged version of their caper. The Mark got wind of their sting and decided to turn against them instead. Val won't be getting any of the bonus, but she doesn't care. She already got her bonus, she says, and she means David. Okay. Whatever.
Nope.
Back to the other stuff. The green screen effect on the giant monitor behind Steve at this condor rally is astonishingly bad, as you can see in the visual aids, because I made a GIF.
It's like
pics.
Land of the Lost bad. So it's terrible. Bad. He looks like a color form.
That's ridiculous. The screen shows the SCU guys stealing the fake corny, and Steve reveals that it was a decoy, and the tiny crowd goes nuts. Seems like Colin shouldn't go on record as participating in any of this a month into his tenure as assistant professor, but okay. And later, David shirtlessly emerges from Val's bathroom drying off. She points out that he hasn't asked her anything about what happened. He says that's because he doesn't care anymore. He's the only one who believes in her, she says. And he says he always will. And that appears to be the magic word that gets her to open her robe. Except we can also see that she has a towel on under it, which, whatever. But when we see her from the back, there's no towel. Whatever. There's a GIF. You can see it. David is about to get his tiny mind blown. And as she's dry, because I made a GIF. You can see the moment that she opens her robe. He is staring at her boobs like he's trying to set them on fire with his mind. And then, like at the last second, is like, oh, I should look at her eyes, I guess. Like it's understandable, but it's also very funny. Anyway, that's the end.
And that was the best take. It happens, Brian Austin Green. It happens to us every week.
Honestly,
we get it.
Yeah, it's you can't get mad at that. That's just nature. Moving on to our A plot. Donna juggles many scandals. Donna tries to leave a message for Joe on a shared phone because it's the past. Her morning hair, by the way, looks 1,000,000 times better than her done hair usually does and will look later in this episode, as you can see in the visual aids. She is suspicious that Joe is avoiding her, but Claire reminds her / exposits that it's homecoming week, which, of course, we've been talking about. So he's probably got lots of football shit to do. She further exposits that they haven't had a Ray sighting in days, and Donna tries Joe again and actually raises Tiny, who hands it off to some guy named AK, who says Joe is talking to the cops because some dude reported him for assaulting him on Halloween. Oh my God, Ray, you baby, that was like 3 episodes ago, but whatever, Donna is aghast. So then Donna, her hair predictably looking much worse, as I said, finds Joe at the jock house, and they have this conversation in clip 11.
I might be charged with battery for that fight with Ray.
Sorry.
I'd tell Coach, and that's when he realized that I must have missed curfew Halloween night. He checked, he found out someone else had signed in for me, and suspended me for one game.
Yeah, but if you hadn't been there, I don't know what would have happened to me.
It doesn't matter now. Sports radio suddenly reporting SCU as a heavy favorite. Storm's not exactly the happiest place on earth.
Joe, Coach said to stay away from her. You want him to sit you out for another game?
I have to go, Donna.
I know.
A simp. AK. Both of them simps.
Honestly, and AK coming out having no patience for any of this. That was him we heard up top telling Donna to leave Joe alone or whatever. Go AK, Lord. And then we're back at the stupid tournament house as the seven members of the Rose Court are announced. The Asian girl in the blush pantsuit is back. She still hasn't learned how to smile. And Dr. Martin and Felice are right in the front row. Kelly rolls up late and is a bitch about it in clip 12.
Donna's going to have a fit when she sees that her mom's here. Typical Felice. Show up for the glory. Hmm. Not exactly. She's really going to gloat when Donna loses.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Jesus. I mean, probably not wrong, but dang.
She's one of your oldest friends. My God. Anyway, Donna's friend Lisa gets picked. And then so does Donna. She gets picked picked last. Felice is
and
elated.
And gets to stand in the middle of the seven princesses.
I made a gif of her taking her position in the exact center of the seven of them. Lord. Anyway, Dr. Martin leans over to tell Felice now she's going to have to tell whatever Donna, whatever her fucking secret is. And here it is. I had to cut up this scene into so many clips because I'm going to need to comment after each of them. So here we go. Felice gets out the photo album, points herself out in the picture that Donna already found, and they discuss that in clip 13.
I knew it was you. Why would you lie to me?
Day after this picture was taken, I found out I was pregnant.
What?
I was 19 years old, living at home with my parents. Your father was in medical school. We had to get married as quickly as we could. I never told anyone, not my parents, not even my best friend. And then, of course, I had to drop out of the competition because the tournament has rules about married girls participating.
That was 26 years ago. What happened to the baby?
I had a miscarriage.
Of course you did, because Fox in the 90s.
Oh, well, I went the other way, which is Felice faked the whole thing to trap Dr. Martin into marriage. Because he was going to be a doctor. Sorry. It seems like the kind of thing a young Felice would do.
But at the cost of her Rose Courtship?
I guess. I don't know. Which is more important in the long run? Having a doctor that's your husband or being in this thing?
I don't know.
I don't either. I mean, she cheated on him, so
like,
maybe she doesn't either.
The thing is like that horse is out of the barn because the affair that right. They never seem to mention anymore, so who
I
knows?
Know. Anyway, there's more. Clip 14.
Oh, Mom, I'm so sorry.
No, Donna. I'm the one who's sorry. I wanted you to quit, too. I didn't want you to find out what a fraud your mother is.
Not a fraud.
Yes, I am. I mean, how could I preach virginity when here I was even younger than you, engaging in free love? What kind of a life lesson is that?
I love the lessons you've taught me. They're the best lessons.
What? It's like you expect them to cut to her and her brains are actually like leaking out her ear. She's so dumb. They're the best lessons. The fuck does that mean?
Yeah, what? And like, I don't know. We've never gotten any sense that these two have like any fun together.
Yeah, no. I mean, they got mayonnaise together, but.
Yeah, so.
I should specify because I kind of drawled that. Mayonnaise. Not mayonnaise, although I'm sure they've had plenty of mayonnaise together also. Jesus, the scene is still not over. Clip 15.
You don't think I'm a hypocrite?
You'd only be that if you hadn't told me the truth.
That's not what that means. Both of you kill yourselves.
Thank you. Actually, it means you're a double hypocrite because you are, you, as you, Sarah already said, you already had an affair. Like, your moral compass is completely suspect. But anyway, they love each other. Who cares? Donna isn't clear on how much Joe was allowed to communicate with her, which is why she didn't tell him that he made the rose. She made the rose court, but he watched it on TV. OMG. How boring was television in the 90s that this would be televised? And was pleased that she looked so happy and excited. He tells her not to worry about him. Everything works out for the best. The city attorney has placed formal charges based on Ray's story. Joe will be arraigned on Monday, but Joe's lawyer will want to talk to her the next day, and she seizes up because she's got rose court shit, but says she'll be available the next morning. And then you think that every time they bring up like any kind of time crisis or time conflict, you think it's going to turn out to be like, I missed it, and then it never pays off. Like, why even say that stuff? Whatever.
Yeah, but, like, just a reminder, we live in Los Angeles. Like, Kelly had something, like, why even have her come in late? Like, traffic was a bitch on the whatever.
Yeah.
I am a bitch freeway. Like, yes. So just cut to her already sitting down. What is this for?
Who cares? Whatever. And the next day we see her, she's totally in the lawyer's office having a conversation without any conflict. If Joe is found guilty, the maximum penalty is $2,000 and 6 months in jail. But the lawyer tells her not to worry about it now that they have her side of the story. And this is what he says. Clip 16.
Joe was protecting you. But the thing is, after Monday's arraignment, the fact that you were abused by your ex-boyfriend is going to become a matter of public record. So you ready for that?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I will be, as soon as I tell my parents.
Ooh-bee. Hey. I also don't know why they're treating... Well, I mean, I do know why they're treating this as her shame, and I'm sure there's more of that to come, but still, gross. And then Donna catches up Lisa at the tournament house to see if she wants to get something to eat. But Lisa has to go talk to her boss about her schedule now that her rose court duties are going to be taking up so much time. And Donna tells her that if she ever needs help with anything, she can ask. And Lisa just graciously accepts her offer of help without being weird about it, like no TV character ever. Thank you, Lisa, for being normal. Perhaps because the person who is going to be weird in the scene is Ray, who rolls up at this point. Donna says she'll see Ray later, but Lisa's not about that in clip 17.
No. I'm going to wait right here for you.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Donna.
How'd you know I was here?
We could get the schedule for the Royal Court just by calling. Look, I'm really happy for you. I kind of feel like I've been there since the beginning of all this.
How can you stand there sweet-talking me when you were making my life and Joe's a living hell?
Look, I gave you fair warning, and I'm going to give you a second chance.
What are you talking about?
My lawyer said there's no case against Joe if I don't testify.
So what do you want me to do? Dump Joe and come running back to you?
Is that so bad? We were happy, Donna.
No. No, we were living a lie. And anything more between us makes that a bigger lie. Now go ahead with your charges. The truth will come out.
Yeah, it will. I'll see you in court.
Can we talk for just a moment about how Donna chooses to walk out of this scene?
Sure.
Okay. It's like a combination of, I don't know if you remember how Stephanie March used to walk on SVU, but like there was a lot of loft.
Uh-huh.
Like she just had a very high stride. It was like a Ministry of Silly Walks walk.
Yes.
It's like a combination of that and the, what's her face who didn't move her arms on Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Tori Spelling frequently goes with this walk, which is like the prim, smug exit walk of having a pogo stick lodged in your butthole. It's very confusing, and I wish you would stop doing it.
She just, to me, she always walks weird. Like she looks like she's trying to hold a lemon in her crotch at the same time. She's like pigeon-toed. It makes no sense. Like sometimes she's clenched up top and then her feet are everywhere. I don't understand how she moves. But anyway.
So it's lemon crotch, pogo stick, butthole, Stephanie March, armless, smug walk. Got
pigeon,
it.
Pigeon toed. Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just back up to where to the last line of that scene, which was, I'll see you in court, which is a reminder that only assholes have ever said something that dumb, both back when Ray said it and later. Last month, one another.
I don't know what you mean.
Abusive man screaming on Twitter.
Would anyone like a Cheeto?
Donna then meets with Tiny, AK, and other of Joe's teammates at Jock House. She didn't want them to be mad at Joe because of her and explains to them about her abusive ex, which Joe didn't tell them about, and the guys feel bad. Donna is praising Joe and his leadership some more when Joe himself comes up behind her looking, being humble, whatever, everything is fine now with her and the team, thank God, I was really worried. And as Donna looks morose on the couch at her place, Felice brings out this huge tray of food that I in no way think she is capable of assembling at all. But long story short, Donna tells her parents about Joe's arrest and everything else. Felice is full of self-recrimination that they didn't figure out what was going on, and even Felice is sorry and supportive about it. Felice declares they won't let Joe go to jail for intervening with Ray. Donna's grateful. Felice tells Donna never to feel afraid to tell her anything, and Donna's like, same goes for you. Okay, wrap it up. After the game, the whole school ends up at the Peach Pit, and you'll never guess what? Clip 18.
Oh, spread the word. In honor of the 35 points that the Condors scored in the second half, I've taken 35% off of everything in the menu.
Matt, what's gotten into you? I can remember a time, and it wasn't so long ago, that everything would be on the house.
Hey, if I did that for every CU victory this season, I'd be out of business. This team's going to the Rose Bowl!
Now they just feel like they're trolling us from the past, but
they have to be.
Yeah.
They have to be. Oh, Joey Tata.
Joe is happy that the game went so well, even if he didn't get to play, and he's slightly concerned about the case. End of episode. Yawn.
Yep.
Let's do the most valuable player, Sarah. Who is your pick?
Belle and her boobs.
Yeah. I was going to say Jonesy just because I was happy to have him back because he is fun. But yes, Val's boobs are a force of nature. Least valuable player.
Hashtag International Women's Day.
It's over. They're also not a force of nature, if we're being technical. Least valuable player, Ray.
Oh, God, there's so many to choose from.
I mean, Ray's on top of stalking Donna and abusing her. Now he's also trying to extort her. Ray.
And if that fails, sue her. Like, right. Whatever. Mm. Let's go with Brandon.
Yeah. Always a solid choice. Stupid yeah. Rock'em Sock'em robot's dick. Let's do the Moo Moo Parker challenge then. 5 ways from this episode, Brandon might have ended up dead. Slipped in a puddle of fluid at Dylan's. You started it. You started it.
I did. Electrocute himself on Dylan's ancient answering machine.
Cut his finger and it gets infected on Dylan's huge pile of mail.
Gorges himself on all the free food at the Peach Pit, has an apoplectic fit, and dies.
Susan gets sick of reminding him about his deadline and strangles him to death.
I'm so glad that one made it in there.
Hey, before you start, Sarah, one piece of site business I forgot to say is that this podcast now has a Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
So I would just go to the site, go to an episode page, and click through it that way. Because there's this whole thing with Facebook where they don't give you a nice URL until you have like 100 followers or something. And I just put it up. So please join. And then we can get to 100. And then next time I'll tell you something like, and it's at this easy to remember URL, not again with this 52B8949. That's it. Also, I want my thing to be at the end, hooker enthusiast. Thanks. Okay.
Already on it. Fun boy. Next time on Again With This. Joe's a virgin, Steve's a star, and David's mom's a bore again some more in the annual Thanksgiving episode. You won't be grateful for our visual aids, which you can see for this and every other Again With This episode on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previouslytv and this very podcast at AWT90210. I'm Matter of Public Record, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. I'm here with Foyer, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is hooker enthusiast fun boy, David T. Cole. He's on Twitter at Glark. Talk to you next time, fun boy.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
You guys are going to have to come up with more challenges.
I know. We should throw that open. We should tweet something.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.